بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are still pondering upon Surah Abasa, chapter number 80. And last time we met, Allah Azza wa Jal was giving those who deny His existence, was giving those who deny the day of resurrection and the possibility and the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal in bringing them back to life. The work we can relate to the Creator. If I see a product, if I see a beautiful car, and I test drive it, and I try to look into it, and I find that it's a perfect car, it's a very good car, I definitely would point to the factory or to the manufacturer by saying that he knows what he's doing. If you look at Allah's creation, this gives you a glimpse of the greatness of Allah, of the perfection of Allah, of the knowledge and ability and power of Allah the Almighty. And that is why it is astonishing. It is so strange how a disbeliever would disbelieve in the existence of Allah and would not believe in Islam. All of this is in front of you for you to relate to. And finally, no matter what you do, no matter how many years you pray or fast, no matter what you offer to Allah Azza wa Jal in forms of worship, you will still be short of showing your gratitude and gratefulness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah's favors and blessings are overwhelming. They're far, far greater than anything that crosses our minds. So the more you do, the better it is for you. So Allah gave them eye openers to look in the very thing they use every single day, and that is their food. So take a good look about this food you consume. Where did it come from? Who made it easy for you to get access to? It was Allah Azza wa Jal who poured the water in abundance from the heavens, and who made the plants to grow from cracks in earth. You could not do that on your own. You work, you strive, you plow, you throw the seeds, you irrigate, but it is Allah the Almighty that makes these plants grow. Different types of plants. The variations are incredible. The variations are incredible because you can see the differences in color, taste, shape, and in everything else. And all of this was from Allah Azza wa Jal for you to ponder upon. Was from Allah Azza wa Jal so that you and your cattle would benefit from. It is from the provider of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's the provider. He's the sustainer. He's the creator of everything you see and cannot see. So, would this be sufficient for you? Would you believe? Well, if you do not believe yet, then there is a warning from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says in Ayah 33, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Then, when there comes a sakha. What is a sakha? A sakha is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. And if you remember, the more something has value and greatness, the more names we would give to it. So, a lion is known as al-Asad, is known as Aswara. Different names for that beast because it has great value. The Day of Judgment has a lot of names. At-Tammatul Kubra, we discussed this the previous surah. And here is As-Sakha. And it's called As-Sakha because it deafens the ears with the shout that inaugurates it, that announces it, which is the second blowing in the trumpet when people are all resurrected. This is what announces As-Sakha, or the day of judgment. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, listen, if you don't want to believe, if you don't want to look around you in these evidences that are overwhelming, these evidences that tell you without any room for doubt that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Allah promised us that there would be a day of reckoning. If you don't believe in that, then wait until the Sakha comes, until the ears would be deafened by this loud shout and this loud cry due to the second blowing in the trumpet. What will happen on that day? Allah gives us a description. Allah says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. You want to know what As-Sakha is? The definition? It is the day when man will flee from his brother. He would run away from his own sibling. And brother means that you run away from your brother who is from your father and mother, or who is your half-brother, whether from your father only or from your mother only. They're all considered to be brothers, but they differ when it comes to inheritance. And this is not our topic. On that day, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that is going to happen. A man would flee, would run away from his own brother. Not only that, Allah says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And also he would run away and flee from his own mother and his own father. Not only that, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And also he would run away from his wife and from his children, from his offspring. And you notice that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned them in this sequence. The further, the closer, and the closest. And this is the norm. Usually, your love to your brother is not as much to your love to your father and mother. And your love to your father and mother does not exceed your love to your wife and to your children. And in this ayah, Allah describes the wife to be sahiba, companion. And this shows you the bond between a man and his wife. She's not a servant that cooks all day and cleans all night. She is not someone to serve you and your parents and your siblings and your in-laws, to those who live in a joint family. She's not a slave. She's a woman to be protected, to be cherished, to be loved, and to be respected. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes her as your companion, as your friend. And this is what your wife should be. You should try to learn and open up a bit. It's difficult for us men, but you should try to do this. She's a companion. You should share some of your secrets, not your past sins or your present, because this is exposing them and this is forbidden. You should not tell any soul about your previous or existing sins. But you should share with her some of your affairs so that she would feel close to you. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us on that day, your brother, your father and mother, and your wife and children, you would run away from. And look, today, if we can, we would do anything in our possession to make them happy. On the day of judgment, not a single good deed you can give voluntarily to them. You wouldn't do that. It's by choice. You wouldn't do that. Because when you see the reality, you say to yourself, I'm in deep trouble. I'm not going to give one single good deed to any single person because I am in great need of this good deed. I'm not going to favor anyone, not even my closest son or my beloved daughter or the wife that I've shared my life with. I'm not going to give them a single good deed because this is the day of reckoning and I do need my good deeds. We have a short break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The day of reckoning, as-saqa, when it comes, every individual would flee his brother, father, mother, wife, and children. He would not be there for them, not anymore. Everyone for himself. And he would not be able to give one single deed to any one of them. Voluntary, that is. The funny thing is, we know for sure that we will not give or share any of our good deeds voluntary. However, we will give bundles of our deeds to people whom we do not like or love, to people whom we may hate, yet we will be forced to give them our good deeds. Imagine, your loved ones, you cannot give them one single good deed on the Day of Judgment. However, those whom you have backbitten, those whom you have stolen their money, or implemented some sort of transgression, those whom you've oppressed, you, on the Day of Judgment, would be forced to take some of your good deeds and give them until they're satisfied. And there's a big possibility that you'll give them all of your good deeds, and that would not be enough, because your transgression, your oppression was so huge, your good deeds are not sufficient anymore. What would happen? The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, do you know who is broke on the Day of Judgment? And they said, yeah, a man who doesn't have a dirham or a dinar, he's the person who's broke, who doesn't have money. He said, no, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He said, the broke person is a man who comes with prayer, fasting, charity, lots of good deeds, like mountains. But in this life, he cursed and swore at this person. He had bloodshed, injured people. He smacked people. He stole money from people. He had backbitten people. So on the Day of Judgment, it's the day of reckoning. Allah Azza wa Jal would hold him accountable for what he had done. So he would take from his good deeds to those whom he oppressed or transgressed upon. So if his good deeds are over, yet there are still so many bad deeds unaccounted for, Allah would take from their bad deeds and he would place it on him and then throw him in hell because he doesn't have any good deeds anymore. So it is funny how you cannot on the Day of Judgment give a single deed to your loved ones, yet bundles and loads of bad deeds of others are thrown onto you, and in exchange you give them a lot of your good deeds. And Allah Azza wa Jal, after telling us that an individual would flee all of those, Allah says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every individual that day will have enough to make him careless of others. Careless of others? Yes, you would not have the time to look or care for others. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, on the Day of Judgment, the people would be gathered and they will be resurrected barefooted, naked, uncircumcised. So Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, looked at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, O Prophet of Allah, this is males and females or only males alone and females alone, meaning that are they segregated? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, no, they are all in the same place. And she said, men and women? Meaning that, O Prophet of Allah, how is this possible to have them mixed naked on such a day? Because the normal thing is people would look down and look at each other, enjoy what they see. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, by Allah, they have something that occupies them from looking at one another. And this is what Allah said, every individual that day will have enough to make him careless of others. You won't have time to care for others. You won't have a chance to look anywhere because you are so terrified. You are so afraid. You're in shock of what's happening around you. You still can't believe what's happening. I thought that this is the only life we're going to live. When we die, we're buried. End of story. It's never the end of story. It's a beginning of a sequel. It's the beginning of a new life that has no end. And you've wasted your only chance. It's cool. If you flunk a subject, there's a possibility of making it over before the year begins. On the day of judgment, that is it. You flunk, you fail in this dunya, in this life, that is it. No more chances. So Allah tells us that on that day, people would be careless of others, even their loved ones, even their close ones. You wouldn't even look for your father or mother. You wouldn't even look for anyone except your own. And that is why when the people, all of humanity, go to Adam, peace be upon him, ask Allah to intercede for us. He says, I'm not the one. Go to Nuh. They go to Nuh. And Noah says, I'm not the one. Go to Ibrahim. They go to Ibrahim, Abraham. He says, I'm not the one. Go to Musa. Go to Moses. And Moses says, go to Jesus, to Isa, peace be upon them. And Isa says, go to Muhammad. Everyone says, I'm only to care for myself. I'm only to care for myself. Except Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, I am the one. And he intercedes with Allah Azza wa Jal to all of humanity. So on that day, no one could care except for himself. On that particular day, people will be divided, as usual, into two types. People of happiness, people of success, people of enjoyment, and people of sadness and depression, people of torment and punishment, people of evil and disbelief. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. On that particular day, there would be a group. And they are recognized when you look in their faces that they have bright faces, no veils on it. So many times you meet people on earth and you say, MashaAllah, there's light coming from your face. Not that if you turn off the lights and put him in a dark room, he'd be like a beacon of light. No. But you can see the happiness. You can see the iman glowing from his face. And sometimes we look at people and we can see darkness that is stemmed from the sins they had committed yesterday or in the past. It shows on their faces. Not everyone can see it, but some can. Allah gives them this gift where they can see the traces of iman and they can see, unfortunately, the traces of sin. So on the day of judgment, there will be people with bright faces because what's in their hearts is expressed on their faces. And this is only human. What would they be doing on the day of judgment? Allah says, ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. On that day, they would have bright faces and they would be laughing and anticipating the glad tidings of Allah Azza wa Jal. They know. They know what is going to happen because they worked all their lives for that day. They refrained. They prevented themselves from things that anger Allah Azza wa Jal. They didn't fornicate. They didn't consume intoxicants. They didn't break the ties with their kinship. They didn't lie. They didn't cheat. They didn't beat people. They didn't harm others, though they could. Why? Because they were waiting for that particular day, laughing, rejoicing at good news of paradise. And then the other group is وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ. This is the other group. And other faces that day will be dust stained. So you can see that there's dust on their faces. They're not as bright as the first group. And this is due to their disbelief. This is due to their evil work. And they would become in the ugliest form possible. The first group would be so beautiful, so handsome, so nice to look at. Unlike the second group. And not only that, the first group was cheerful, happy and rejoicing. This one, تَرْحَقُهَا قَتَرَةً. darkness will cover them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal finally says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Such will be the disbelievers and the fajara, who are wicked and evildoers. This is their adobe. This is how they be resurrected on the day of judgment. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among those who have bright faces on the day of judgment. Now, what we can learn from these previous beautiful ayahs, one, that the trials on the day of judgment are so horrific that an individual would run away from his closest friends, his closest relatives, and his beloved ones. He would just flee and run away from, because he sees everything and he knows that this is عَيْنُ الْيَقِينِ. This is reality, which he had not believed in before. Then, secondly, on the day of judgment, you will find the consequences of not fulfilling your obligations. So many obligations we have on this world, but you will find this apparent for you on the day of judgment, and you will find people collecting and requiring and demanding to get their rights which you failed to give on the day of judgment. Thirdly, things are so frightening on the day of judgment to the extent that you cannot look around. Even if there's a nude opposite sex next to you, you cannot even take a glimpse, because what you will see from the things that happen on the day of judgment are so terrifying. Fourthly, the beauty of belief and conviction, the beauty of Islam that gives you light in your faces on the day of judgment, that would shine and make you happy and rejoicing. And the evil of disbelief and sin that has darkness to the face. And finally, Allah Azza wa Jalla is establishing again and again and again the conviction and the aqeedah of resurrection, day of judgment, and accountability. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.